I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Thousands of people are gathering in St. Louis this weekend for the annual Archon Science Fiction Convention, featuring masquerade competitions, role-playing, and something called steampunk tea. We're going to hear about that later in the program. And we're going to meet the convention's Byron Kerman, cryptographer Alanka Dunn, and science fiction writer Joe Haldeman, author of The Forever War. And in our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, the growing popularity of Filipino food in St. Louis. We begin, though, with Shuffle, Play, Listen, a program that mixes pop and classical music featuring cellist Matt Heimovitz and pianist Christopher O'Reilly, who hosts NPR's From the Top, which is heard Saturday nights at 7 o'clock here on St. Louis Public Radio, and we welcome you both to the program.
Good to be here.
Thanks.
Great. Christopher, you're a classically trained pianist, both classically trained, and I know Matt wasn't experienced anything but classical for a long time. Was the same for you?
I played classical since I was 4 years old, and it was only in sixth grade when I realized that girls really weren't interested in my octaves in the Sixth Hungarian Rhapsody that I thought maybe pop music might be a nice thing to do.
So that changed everything for you.
Absolutely. Still didn't help, but eventually, decided. I was playing jazz professionally through high school and went to New England Conservatory with the idea of pursuing both. But when I got there, I realized I really wanted to toe the line, and it was more challenging for me to follow classical music. But I never stopped listening to this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so Matt and I have had sort of parallel and opposing paths. I mean, I started out playing classical music, but then started doing my arrangements, Radiohead and those folks, in the classical concert hall. And meanwhile, Matt was taking Bach to CBGBs and rock clubs and things like that. And it was nice to have us come together and follow this path that led us to Shuffle, Play, Listen.
Right. Matt, you were totally classical. What, till college? I think I read something where you didn't even know there was another kind of music almost, right?
Well, I didn't even touch classical 20th century composers until I got to college. Leonard Rose, my primary teacher, he simply didn't like contemporary music. And Bernstein had to twist his arm to play the Barber Concerto, one of the great cello bootleg recordings out there.
He really nailed it.
Unbelievable performance. But he just, he was a romantic at heart. That was the music that he loved. And for me, I got to Princeton. It was my first year in college, and I ran into Milton Babbitt in the hallway. He was just sitting there having conversations with mostly composition students, and then Steve Mackey walked by, and I basically asked them, how does a 20th century composer compete with the music of Brahms and Beethoven and all this unbelievable tradition and repertoire out there? And Steve just said, well, maybe we should just jam together. He's an electric guitarist as well as composer, and I spent the rest of that year just jamming with electric guitar and not going to many classes.
You're both appearing this evening as part of Essen Theater's Ovation series at the Washington University Music Center, and you talk about, mixing contemporary music with classical, and that's what this is all about. And the Shuffle, Play, Listen is also the name of a CD that you have, although the music's going to be more than what's just on the CD, right?
A little bit more. We've got a new piece by Philip Glass that we've been carrying around. We've got some early Juvenilia by Anton Webern, and maybe a couple of other things as well.
We might slip in some Benjamin Britten that we haven't done before.
Could happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, if our listeners have a question or a comment while you gentlemen are here, we invite them to join us at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Let's talk specifically about how you mix these things. And I know we brought some examples. Why don't you set this what we're going to hear? Would you set it up for us?
Well, the amazing thing is that, I've been doing these arrangements of pop tunes on piano, and actually having the option of a truly wonderful sustained instrument like Matt's cello has really changed the possibilities. So I think the first clip we're going to hear is a song by, what is the name of the band? A Perfect Circle, yeah. Perfect Circle did a song called Three Libras. And you'll hear the lead singer, sort of a Levantine sort of sense of singing. And Matt really inhabits every singer that we've attacked. We'll hear some blonde redhead in a little bit, and we'll hear some Radiohead as well. But it's amazing the way that he's able to really capture the color and scope and color of the voice.
All right, we're having some technical problems, so we'll get to that in just a second. We're talking to Christopher O'Reilly and Matt Heimovitz. How does that work? How do you find that the cello and the piano work together?
What do you think? You don't usually like playing with piano that much, Matt.
For years I avoided the combination.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's such disparate instruments. They're so – in some ways they don't belong together. And on the other hand, there's this amazing tradition starting with the Beethoven sonatas for the two instruments. And then, of course, the idea of leader, the idea of a singer playing a piano or a rock song, you know, where I am the singer and or taking a few different roles, electric guitar, some other roles. But then it can be filled out and you have rhythm section and all the counterpoint and everything in the piano part. But in terms of intonation is one thing, you know, the piano is well tempered, and when a string quartet plays, it's a completely different intonation than playing with piano. So that's one thing. I can sustain, the piano can't sustain. Mm-hmm. I can vibrate, the piano can't vibrate. You know, there are all these just the timbral difference of the two instruments.
But piano's a really depressing instrument. I mean, every note that you play on
except
the piano,
when you play it.
Yeah. Every note on the piano, you know, every note you play dies. And you have to continually deal with the moribund nature of that sound. And it's also a percussion instrument, and it has the potential of killing a sustained sound like the cello. My chamber music coach, Benjamin Zander, the great conductor, really had me really scared. I mean, if I was playing with one of his cello students and she didn't sound good, it was my fault. You know, because the piano is able to either kill the sustained quality of the cello sound, or is able to set up a magic carpet that they can ride on and make a nice environment for them.
Well, so what made you think this would work?
We just we were put together, you know, because of our similar tastes in eclectic music. And we actually put together a concert in Billings, Montana, and worked for 2 or 3 days at about 10 hours, 12 hours a day. And I don't think I've ever had any more fun really working for a concert. The hours flew by and we just got on very well.
I also think that certain people transcend their instrument, and Chris is one of those people. I think when you – at a certain point, it doesn't matter what you're playing. And when you start – as Chris was saying, once we started working together and the kind of give and take and just getting to the heart of whatever it was, whether it was a John McLaughlin tune or that we were putting together or a Janáček or a Stravinsky piece that we were – putting together for the very first time, it didn't matter that I was playing cello and that Chris was playing piano. We were going for something.
So you couldn't do this with just any pianist, is what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
No way.
It's a matter
no
of
way.
Trust. I mean, I think that I think I gained that a fair amount from my jazz years, just being able to trust the moment and to really react and interact with who you're playing with at a moment-to-moment basis.
Gentlemen, I think our technical problems have been solved.
Oh, good. We can have some music.
Yeah.
We're going to again.
Three Libras by
Perfect Circle.
Well, I guess I spoke too soon.
You know, I guess you guys really just don't want to play pop music on public radio here in St. Louis.
Is this a form of censorship?
I know. Is this one of those conspiracy theories that we've been hearing about?
Well, it is an election year.
I see.
So it's a plot. No, I apologize for that. Well, let's talk a little bit about the program where we can't hear what you're doing, and maybe we can solve a problem. We'll have to see. But as I understand, the first half of your program is something that you have planned in the second half, not?
No, it's no. Everything will be announced from the stage, actually. So we play around with the program. As I say, you know, a lot of the stuff comes from Shuffle Play Listen, the double album set. But we really make it very interactive. And so the combination of pieces is as important as the text of the pieces. So the context and the text are very, very important to the whole concert.
Who is your audience? Are they people that are very familiar with classical music? And do you need to be?
We've had very serious classical music audiences. We've had predominantly pop audiences. We played at Yoshi's in San Francisco and a couple of places in New York and hereabouts. But as you say, the diehard classical music audience has been extraordinarily embracing of our concert, and they like the way that we present the music, and we do talk to the audience and let them know what they're about to hear. And so I think that goes a long way. This is back to the old tradition here in St. Louis of Leonard Slack. And, you know, if you care about a piece of music, you let the audience know.
Mm-hmm. So interacting with the audience is an important part of what you do then, speaking to them and setting things up.
Yeah, many of the classical listeners are hearing Radiohead for the first time in this setting, actually. I think the reverse is true too. We get younger college students, you know, who are Radiohead blonde redhead fans who would not have come into contact with Janáček for sure.
Well, could you be a little more specific then about specifically the types of music you'll be performing
tonight?
Yeah.
Are we revealing – how much of the program are we revealing?
Or maybe you're not.
One of the really great pieces on the program is our closer, and actually it was one of the first pieces that we attacked back in Billings, a piece by John McLaughlin from his Mahavishnu Orchestra days called The Dance of Maya. John McLaughlin is probably the most talented jazz guitarist of all time. And the guitar solo in Dance of Maya, which I transcribed faithfully, Matt insists that it fits under the hand as nicely as a Boccherini concerto, but I think he's just being modest. It's a real tour de force.
That's pianist Christopher O'Reilly, and cellist Matt Heimovich is also here. We're going to try this again, although we're going to try the melody segment.
So Blonde Redhead we've got coming up. It just reminds me so much of being in the MMR room at McGill where we recorded this, and the incredible microphones and placement that Richard King did, one of the great engineers at Sony. But the really beautiful thing about this is the way that Matt really inhabits the phrasing of lead singer of Blonde Redhead, I think.
Hearing them back to back like that, well, I'm sliding a little more than she does. I mean, what was that? But I do remember in this tune... in fact, not even bringing the string all the way to the fingerboard. You know, what we're taught to do in conservatory, we're taught to play very correctly. And in order to get the timbre of her sound, this delicate, fragile voice.
Would you call it mezzo voce? Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, sort of, although it's a more bizarre mezzo voce. It's mezzo voce with no muscle in the left hand.
Right.
Does anybody do what you're doing? Because this is new to me.
Technically, you mean in terms of playing the instrument? I hope young cellists are not doing that. don't do this at home.
I don't think anybody else is covering this repertoire. Right.
That's a good point. It's a new repertoire, and then these tunes, the way Chris, his ears process this music. I mean, in a way, he's created a whole set of encore tradition. I mean, in the same way as Liszt, Kreisler,
Popper,
you know, all the 19th century virtuoso players who also arranged and created this virtuosic body of repertoire. In a way, this is a an extension of that tradition.
You have to acknowledge the sort of repetitive nature of pop music, the chapter and verse, the verse and refrain sort of idea. And in working on these arrangements, not just the arrangements themselves, but the performances, Matt was much more adept and much more demanding in terms of making it a classical performance in that, well, here is this material coming back again, as you would in a recapitulation of a classical sonata. How is it now changed? We don't have the option of actually the lyrics in front of us. Mm-hmm. And so obviously the narrative is very important. And he really gave these pieces a much more classical shape.
Let's listen to another one. You mentioned it earlier, Three Libras.
Well, I mean, this one is actually the easiest and most the one that I can just instinctively go with. I mean, I just think opera. I just, yeah. I'm trying to create a rich tenor voice and just wail.
This was actually my girlfriend's idea to do this song. You know, we were talking about Blonde Redhead and Arcade Fire, and she said, you know, go over to YouTube and have a look at Three Libras, and you see that it has about 3 million hits. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. We had 5 days of recording, and the guy running the tape machine, this was the only one that he was actually bobbing his head to. It was really funny. He said, oh, you know that piece? Oh, yeah, it's great. How are we doing?
Girlfriend, so the pop stuff did work for you after
it did
all.
Eventually. It did pay off.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, thanks.
Edison Theater's Ovation Series presents Christopher O'Reilly and Matt Heimovitz in Shuffle Play Listen. That's tonight, 8 p.m. at Washington University's 560 Music Center on Trinity Avenue. If you'd like ticket information for tonight, 314-935-6543, or go to stlpublicradio.org, the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to a website where you can find out more information. It's beautiful work.
Hey, thanks.
And thank you.
Really appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk
thanks
to us
for
today.
Us.
Christopher O'Reilly and Matt Heimovitz. Thanks again.